Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Vito Corbin said, "Your present circumstances don't determine where you can go, they merely determine where you start." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. Today's Playmaker provides treatment for those struggling with loss of identity. With us today is a PhD who assists in developing solutions for the expansion of mental health programs in rural Texas communities. This great Playmaker is Dr. Christopher S. Taylor, professional counselor. Well, Dr. Taylor utilizes existential psychotherapy to provide treatment for individuals struggling with loss of identity. In 2015, he was appointed by Governor Greg Abbott to serve on the Texas State Board of Examiners of Professional Counselors as a professional member and was reappointed to continue serving on the board in 2021. In 2018, he was unanimously voted as vice chair of the board. Dr. Taylor founded Taylor Counseling Group in 2015 with a mission to provide affordable, accessible, and reliable mental health services. Dr. Taylor is also the author of My Digital Practice, is the host of the For Self-Examination podcast, and is an adjunct professor of counseling ethics at Dallas Theological Seminary and Amberton University. Working with various state and private organizations such as Child Protective Services since 2008, Dr. Taylor has experienced a lack of community support for broken homes in both urban and rural communities. In an endeavor to alleviate this issue, Dr. Taylor served as the court coordinator and program developer for Legacy Family Court in Dallas County from 2013 to 2016. Well, Christopher, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to have you. And because I mentioned this right at the beginning, I want to talk about this and get your explanation. What is loss of identity?
Oh, well, that's a big question. I don't think there's a simple answer for it, unfortunately. I'm sorry. It has to do with that big question that we all like to ask: who am I? What is my purpose? Why am I here? These sort of existential questions that we try to come up with to sort of explain what we're doing every day. We find at key moments in our life, and we see this often in our 20s, in college, we see this in, you know, midlife crisis, where you start to ask this question of who am I? Why am I here? What is my identity? We get confused sometimes, and we might lose track or lose touch of the things that we really care about. And so I try to help people figure that out.
From hearing what you just said, I understand from a lot of the reading research I do that a lot of people were never given the opportunity to understand who they really were, or because of those things they picked up from family and friends in school, they never got a complete idea of who they were. Is this part of what you're talking about?
Absolutely. I think one of the major struggles we have now, we're gonna feel a lot more of this in the coming decade, is the college experience. We take very young children. We take 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 14-year-olds now. We put a great deal amount of pressure on them to decide what they're going to do with their entire life. They compete for very difficult slots at you know, quote-unquote, premier universities. Many of them can't get in. Majority of them can't get into those universities or get their top pick. But even if they do, they have to make large choices about the rest of their life when they're 18 under immense stress and pressure.
What should adults or parents do for their kids to help them get through that as they get older, especially in their teen years?
Well, I'll tell you the best advice I ever got. I was in Scotland having a lovely dram with Brian Kinsman, who is the creator of Snow Phoenix, and this is my wife was pregnant at the time. Unfortunate for her, because she didn't get to enjoy all the lovely whiskey that we had, but I did. Brian told me the greatest thing ever, like 2 a.m. when I'm talking about how I'm not ready to be a father. He says, "Chris, it's an easy thing. Just love what they do." That just hit me so well. Is whatever your kids start to experience or explore, love that and get into that with them and go as far as they want to go. And then if they don't want to do it anymore, then find out what the next thing is they want to do and love that and go do it. He says right now he's really into golf because his son's into golf. And he's like, before my son got into golf, I didn't care about golf. Now I do.
Well, being from that part of the world, I can see why golf was very important to him.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I had also mentioned was a legacy family court, and that was recognized as an agent of change by the Council on Drug and Alcohol Abuse. Why was that so important to you?
That was a really amazing project that I was very grateful to be a part of. I worked for CPS before I went to grad school to start on my master's. And I just experienced a part of life that I had never been a part of before. Actually physically taking a child out of the home is a gut-wrenching and heart-wrenching experience. And I've had to do that many times as a CPS caseworker. And then in my doctoral program, working on this particular topic, drug courts, is my dissertation. To be a part of launching a drug court program was really exciting. And it was something I really enjoyed, where we could challenge the status quo and say punishment is not the answer, that there is a better way to approach these things. So applying social learning theory to the drug court process and saying that it's not punishment, it's not stick or carrot that's going to help the person change their life because they're addicted to this substance. It is changing their social relationships, changing their entire social structure, and putting them in a new healthy environment where they can thrive, where we saw amazing evidence of their progress through that.
Drug addiction, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but drug addiction is a family problem. Do many children become drug addicts as a result of their parents if they were drug addicts?
I don't know the statistics for that particular question, but I will tell you the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, if you know what I mean. There is research into genetic predisposition for these things like alcoholism. We know there's an alcohol gene. And then there's social environments as well. So if you constantly grow up watching your parents struggle with X, it's more likely that you are going to struggle with X. My 3-year-old was begging her mom, my wife, to watch Paw Patrol. And my wife got so irritated with it, she said, I'm just going to take all the TVs out of the house. And she stopped and goes, oh my God, that is exactly what my dad said to me when I was a kid. So, it's just like that kind of stuff we tend to repeat, right? So it's not uncommon that if you were in that place where your parents struggled with a drug addiction, that you might struggle with that as well.
I've heard a lot about nature versus nurture. And my guess, you can speak about this if you'd like to, it's probably a little bit of both, isn't it?
And I think it is both, yeah.
I mean, it's the way we're raised. And there could also be some predisposition, which apparently you're working on too. Well, let's talk about the Taylor Counseling Group. I was interested in this because the 5 core values really hit me, and I'll mention these. You can talk about this: affordable care, transformational change, collaborative growth, community support, and human capital. And those kind of all together. So, how did you come up with those core values, and how did you deal with those as you're dealing with your clientele?
That is a great question. The credit is not all mine. I have to give it to many other people. When we went to develop Taylor Counseling Group, the first thing that I really wanted to fight against was the disorganization in the field of professional counseling. I don't know if you've ever tried to book a session with a therapist using insurance, but it's extremely difficult. You have to call several places. You have to wait, in some cases, weeks to get callbacks. Most people don't want to take your insurance, and there's a frustration with that because it's something that you have that your employer gave you or that you are purchasing yourself, and it just kind of feels like you're being robbed, right? The insurance company says, hey, you can use this to go get therapy, but nobody wants to take it. So looking at this disorganization and realizing that the real problem is that the clients are frustrated because they don't understand any of it. Therapists are frustrated because it's too complex and it's just not worth our time to deal with. So I kind of wanted to bridge that gap. So that's what we set out to do. Then realizing as we looked into it more and more and more is that therapy is just not affordable. It's market rate here in DFW is $150 an hour. And you got to come once a week for it to be effective, right? At least in the beginning. So that's 4 sessions a month. That's $600 a month. That is the lease of a brand new Audi A6. Most people can't afford an A6, right? And And so if you look at it that way, you say, this is a very expensive thing that's not supposed to be a luxury good. It's supposed to be accessible to everybody. So kind of putting those pieces together, and then a great friend of mine, Brett Mills, with McCarthy Rosen Mills, he's our CPA as well. He gave me this book, EOS, it's Traction, by Gino Wickman. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but an amazing book. I suffer from a little too cool for school syndrome sometimes. So, you know, things that rhyme, I'm like, I don't know about that. But he says, you know, all these things like you have to delegate, to elevate. And I was like, I don't know, Brett. But I read the book. I buy the book on Amazon, get it the next day, you know, and I read it, I sit down and read it on Friday. And by the time I'm done with chapter one, I'm like, oh my God, this is the book for me. This is what I've been looking for. So I finished the book on Friday. And part of the Traction model is that you develop these core values and then you anchor everything around them. So I spent that entire weekend just thinking about what is our core, what is our identity, what's our essence, and really just trying to sum that up into 3 to 7 points and landed on these five.
It sounds also like what people need to do for themselves also to really understand who they are. So what I hear then is you are making therapy affordable to those who would really need that without having to fight through the insurance situation.
Absolutely. We take all major insurances and we do that work for you. So we do that work for the client so they can just call in and say, here's my ID number, and then we'll take care of the rest for them. Or if you choose not to use insurance, we just have that $90 private pay rate that is far more affordable than market rates out there. And if that's still not affordable for you, we have several associates that just graduated their master's program that are either under my supervision or under one of our senior clinician supervision, and they can work with you at an even lower rate.
Well, you now have, 10 locations, mm-hmm. and apparently you're growing too.
Yeah.
How did you get in the situation where you're able to open up additional locations, and you're in South Texas, you're in San Antonio, you're in Dallas? Why all those locations?
So part of the core mission here is accessibility. So in order for therapy to be more accessible, not only does it have to be affordable, but you have to be able to get to it. You know, and studies show that people are not willing to drive unless they live in a rural county, are not willing to drive regularly more than 30, 45 minutes to go see a therapist. Especially on a weekly basis, unless it happens to be a part of your commute, which it usually doesn't. So most people need therapy evenings, weekends, where they can get to on a weekly basis that is near them. So we launched our first Dallas office in 2015, and then immediately looking at the very next year, wanted to get another office up and running to make sure that we could test that theory. And that's what we did with our Galleria office. That took off as well. And so then we started targeting zip codes that mirrored those areas that had the same type of population that, you know, people that had insurance lived. And we just, you know, would go as fast as we could.
So apparently the three major areas are Dallas, Fort Worth, and South Waxahachie, San Antonio, and the Houston area.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So should someone have interest, they can check your website.
Yep.
Find out where they're located. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and they'll see us in Waco soon as well.
As you're growing, it sounds like you're also going to be adding more offices too.
Mm-hmm. Our goal is 30 through the state.
Now, are you looking at colleges? You went to A&M. Mm-hmm. Are you looking at colleges to hire these counselors to put in these new offices?
Well, no. Unfortunately for us, it takes a little bit longer than just hiring somebody out of school, like if you're a recruiter at a large company. We have to wait until they go to grad school. They have to graduate from grad school. They have to then do their associateship, which typically takes about 2 years. Then we can really hire them because they can't be credentialed for insurance until they've reached their full licensure.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit more about yourself. You started at college as an Aggie. You're originally from Florida.
That's right. Yeah.
The military was important to you.
My dad was in the Navy, and my brother's in the Navy now as well. And I was going to go in the Air Force, but opted not to.
Well, talk about why you got into counseling in the first place.
Well, so I'm at A&M, and I want to go into the Air Force, and I want to fly for the Air Force. And my junior year comes around, and this is when, you know, you have to decide if you're going to go or not. And I had fallen in love with philosophy. I had fallen in love with existentialism at A&M. It's what I studied there. And I kind of found myself in this place where I didn't feel like I wanted to be in the Air Force anymore, that our values weren't really lining up. Also, the Air Force was downsizing their pilot program at the time, moving more towards drones and stuff like that. So it became a lot more difficult to get a pilot slot, which is highly competitive. So it seemed to me that that wasn't really my path anymore. And falling in love with existentialism, several friends, my buddies in the Corps would, you know, just say that I was great at listening when they talked about whatever their problems might be, that I never felt judged. And so I was like, that's interesting. I wonder if there's something there. And then a pastor of mine told me that I should, you know, think about pursuing a career as a therapist. And I didn't know what that was, really. And he said, you know, you're great at listening. You should go to the school, Dallas Seminary. It's a great school. And you should get your master's in biblical counseling. And I didn't know what that was, so I looked into it and fell in love with it. And then that's what allowed me to study existential psychotherapy, as I did. Yeah.
Well, talk about what psychotherapy really is.
Psychotherapy is just a synonym for, you know, professional counseling. Many different names in the field. You get mental health counselor, professional counselor, but essentially it's listening. That's really mainly what it is. We're listening without judgment, listening to understand. A lot of people listen to talk, you know, for my turn to talk. But it's a one-way relationship where you come to me and you talk about you and I just listen. And I never talk about me, right? And that's different than a friendship or a family. And I'm just here for you to listen and I'm not judging you. I might make observations, I might make suggestions, I might challenge some ideas. But if we're talking about identity development, we want to talk about your core values, right? We look at values as the building block of your identity. So what are your values, and are your actions matching your values? And if your actions are not matching your values, then you typically find yourself in some identity crisis. If they are, then you tend to find yourself working towards some kind of self-actualization.
What do you offer for your clientele? There's a number of different types of clients you may take in, but what are your specialties?
Well, my specialty is existential psychotherapy, but for the company as a whole, Taylor Counseling Group, we like to call ourselves the In-N-Out Burger of therapy. We do the individual, the double, and the triple. So that's your individual counseling, your couples counseling, and your family counseling. We typically serve the lifespan, so that's 5 to 65. We look at anything under than 5 is highly specialized, some kind of trauma-based child therapy. And then anything north of 65 is typically where Medicare comes in, and due to federal regulations, we cannot accept Medicare at this time. That's typically the population that we look at. It's more generalized, but all of our therapists do have their own specialties and areas of expertise.
You just mentioned a few things. Does that differentiate you from other counseling groups? And or what other things cause you to be different?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that make us different from most other groups. If you're looking at most other in the broadest sense of the word, the fact that we take all major insurance and have an aggressive, affordable rate makes us very different than most other places. The fact that we don't have a hyper-focused specialty makes us very different than most places. And then also the fact that we offer a concierge service for our clients and our counselors as well, where our counselors, all they do is show up. They get paid their salary regardless of if the client shows up or not. And they just focus on therapy. They don't have to do any of the business stuff. They don't have to do any of the billing. They get paid the same every week, right? So those things, I think, together make us very different than pretty much anybody else out there.
One area that's become very popular lately is coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Many very successful people, as many successful athletes, have a coach. How does coaching differ from counseling?
Yeah, you're talking about life coaching? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's different. It's not alien, but it's different. I like to think of it as, when all this started with Freud, there were only medical doctors. Then there became psychiatrists, also medical doctors. And then from there became psychologists, and I'm sure the psychiatrist had a lot to say about the psychologist coming on the field. And then there's the psychologist, and then they look at us, the professional counselors. I know they have a lot to say about us being on the field. I think that's just the next iteration is now we have the life coach. The stigma's eroding. People know that they need help. They're not afraid to ask for it anymore, or at least not like they were 30 years ago. People will say, more conversations start around the water cooler, you know, the proverbial water cooler, with my therapist says than anything else. So life coaching doesn't require a formal education. Life coaching doesn't require a formal license, you know, certified by the state, issued by the state. And it's essentially unregulated. I don't have anything negative to say about it. I think if you're getting help from a life coach, a professional counselor, a shaman, a priest, you know, as long as you're getting what you need to be the best you, please go do that.
But it sounds like the core is what you mentioned before, understanding how to listen.
Yes.
And not prejudge or judge what that person's doing, to really understand them.
And then I think coaching has its place too, if you want to talk about like finding a nice business coach or finding somebody to help motivate you in a specific way. And therapy is not really necessarily about let's solve this one problem and motivate you in that direction. It's more about an experience in a relationship, whereas a coach might be more like a personal trainer.
Have there been any specific people in your life, any mentors, any people or a great influence that caused you to get to where you are right now?
Absolutely. There's been a few, but I tell you, the first and most important one is Master Sergeant Robert Doty, U.S. Air Force retired. He was my teacher in high school in my junior ROTC program. I was in the Air Force ROTC program at my high school. And he is, talk about the best hype man on the universe, in the universe. I mean, Bob was an amazing teacher. I still talk to him every once in a while. Very affirming, very, you know, you can do this kind of attitude. Didn't hold anything back, though. You know, told you what you were doing wrong. Always used words like knucklehead. You know, like, stop being a knucklehead, Chris.
But you understood why he was saying
that. Oh, absolutely. And then he wouldn't just stop there. He'd get into it with you. And I mean, he literally would work out with you if you were needing somebody to work out with. You know, he was always there. An amazing, amazing mentor. Him.
Well, you run your business differently than most other counselors. So should someone have some interest in finding out more about what you do, where should they go?
Oh, yeah, they can go to the website, taylorcounselinggroup.com. They can call us anytime, 214-530-0021.
And that can also get them moved to another specific location if they need to get there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, Chris, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show. This is really interesting understanding what you do. Thank you for your time.
It was my pleasure. Thanks.
We have just spoken to Dr. Christopher S. Taylor. Chris is PhD and a licensed professional counselor. Thank you to Chris for being on the show. Thank you to all of us for listening and joining us. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you get all of our past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we'll be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.